WTOP, this is Jason. Can you hear me okay?
Hey, Jason, it's Anna. How are you?
Hey, nice to meet you.
You too.
Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Anna Gasteyer, who needs no introduction, SNL and Broadway and so many other things. Thanks so much for taking the time, Anna.
Thank you for having me.
Now, the reason we're doing this is she's coming on Monday to Arena Stage, beautiful Arena Stage in D.C., for an evening with Anna Gasteyer. Tell us what's going on in this show. I know you're born and raised in D.C. We can get to that in a minute, but what exactly is going on at this event?
You know, it's to honor Arena Stage and... it's their annual gala to raise money, mostly for this amazing theater and organization. And I'll be doing my act, which I tour the country with, and singing a bunch of ridiculous songs from my ridiculous jazz album and telling stories, I'm sure, about growing up in D.C. and other things. It should be a really good time. They have this annual event. This is their, you know, their shindig. Their big blowout for the year. So
this is like their Kennedy Center honors or something.
I wouldn't say it's honors exactly, but yeah, it's to raise money for the theater. So yeah.
Well, tell me, you mentioned you have a ridiculous jazz album.
I do.
Go into that. Is this the one that has the Carrie Underwood Before He Cheats?
It does. Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, it's a jazzy version of that song, Before He Cheats, and it has a lot of really old, some standards and some old novelty songs from further back, the 30s and 40s, that are kind of revisited in a jazzy way. The act is kind of a nod to that, you know, great performers era of the late 50s, early 60s, and Supper Club.
Right, you're like Marlene Dietrich or Barbara Stanwyck or something.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Betty Hutton is probably closer. Danny Kaye, you know, it's a little old fashioned, and it's me, so it's a little modern, but. It definitely is a genre that I really relate to and that I connect to, and musically that's really fun because it's so improvisational, and it's the lyrics are often, you know, really important, and I'm a lyrics person in terms of they drive the story they tell, that they are, you know, they tend to be kind of fun and complicated and not just sort of there as a afterthought.
right. So many songs, it's like they're a throwaway thing just to accompany the beat or something. To me, it's the story. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's sort of, that's something that all great American songs do, is tell a great story. And that's something that I love to perform. So that's the kind of music that I've been drawn to. And it does have, like I said, like sort of a late 50s, early 60s vibe to it. A little bit of a throwback vibe, and a vibe where, you know, basically I like it when people, have a couple cocktails while I'm performing. So it's got a supper club, you know, nightclub vibe to it.
That makes it an easier crowd if they're a few deep by the time.
Oh yeah. I really enjoy it. I always enjoy a drunk crowd more than a not drunk crowd. They tend to be out to have a good time. And that's the only reason I perform, is so people have a good time. So I'm not out to change the world, you know.
Drunk crowd better than a drunk performer.
Happy drunks. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, a lot of us who've, you know, seen you, and, you know, you've made us laugh for so much. A lot of us might not know that, you know, a lot of our listeners might not know that you've been classically trained singer. And I think you played violin since you were like age 5. Talk about sort of those early days growing up in D.C. and how you fell for music.
Yeah, I definitely started as a musician. I am known as a comedian, and that's mostly what I do. That's how I make my living. But this act in particular, it was born sort of out of reconciling those two things together, because I they are really separate. And I, like, my professional debut was as a child chorister in the Washington Opera. I was definitely from like a much more classical training bent as a kid, and then I sang my way into Northwestern University in Chicago, and that's actually where I found comedy, because it's huge there. Improv comedy was born in Chicago, so that's really where I started, found my comedy people. But yeah, that's why. So you already spoke to it. Basically, I was a classical vocalist and a violinist throughout my childhood there. So it wasn't until after SNL, when I kind of came back around to singing in a way that I related to, you know, kind of started my own act and got my own band going and made music the way that that kind of fit me a little bit better.
Were there any, like, you know, DC-centric, you know, theaters or concert venues you remember going to as a kid? Or did they have, like, a singing group at Sidwell Friends? You know, talked about the sort of the community, the arts community.
The arts community in DC, yeah. I mean, I was absolutely raised, you know, my parents were very involved in the arts. So I already mentioned the Washington Opera, but you know, I studied at the Washington School of Ballet, and it was all very, like, traditional. But the main thing I was going to say is that one of the main reasons I'm so looking forward to this is I actually grew up deeply connected to the arena stage. My parents were members there, and our very close family friends were the Proskys. Bob Prosky was one of the great tentpoles of that organization as a rep theater company. And Libby Bauer was a schoolmate of mine at Sidwell, and her parents, Richard Bauer and Hala Wines, were both arena ensemble members. So I think I saw, you know, 30 shows there or something growing up, and it had such a huge influence on my becoming a performer because it was just smart, interesting, you know, interpretive, great theater. So for a city relatively cosmopolitan but small, I mean, now that I live in New York and I realize, like, how much effort it takes to put on good theater, you know, it's really impressive. And I know that the rest of the theater scene there, you know, I know people from the Signature Theater, I know people, you know, Woolly Mammoth. I mean, these are great American, this has become one of the great American theater cities, Washington. Yeah, so I'm excited to go down there and support the arena because it really had a huge, huge influence on my ideas that I could become an actor, you know, which is cool.
Definitely. You just mentioned a few seconds ago, you said it was Northwestern, is that right?
I did, yeah.
Explain specifically how you discovered comedy. When was that first moment you got a laugh and said, hey, this sounds good?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, people always say, like, oh, were you the class clown? I mean, almost everyone, all my friends from Sidwell are really funny people. That it was a very kind of clever bunch that I hung out with. I definitely was, you know, in retrospect, probably, you know, the performance thing was really my bag. When I was in high school, I did every play and every musical, and we had there's a really wonderful drama teacher there, Ed Crow, that and he's actually a drummer as well, that really influenced me, and John Elko as well, that are both, they again, active in the DC theater scene, worked at the Folger, worked at the Arena, and so I kind of knew I wanted to be a performer, but I didn't know, I knew I was like a good funny performer just from plays and stuff like that. But when I got to college, there was an improv show that was kind of legendary, and I auditioned for it and got in, and, you know, immediately sort of was realized, oh my god, these are my people, you know.
What was the improv show?
It's called the Meow Show. It's like just Northwestern's improv crew. Yeah. You know, a lot of Northwestern churns out a lot of well-known actors, but there have been a lot over the years that have done the Meow Show as well. So, yeah.
So what brought you from there to New York then? What, did you get into the whole, you know, Chicago's like a legendary comedy scene, so did you get into that and make the jump?
Yeah, I actually went to L.A. On the advice of some Chicago people, kind of followed a bunch of people that way, and then I did the Groundlings out in L.A., which is a sketch comedy, sketch and improv company that is fantastic, and it's a kind of a huge gateway to Saturday Night Live, and that's how I got seen for SNL, and then I moved to New York to do SNL, and then once I was in New York, I was like, I really miss music, and so I started auditioning for a lot of the casting directors here in town as a singer. And then after I left SNL, I started working. I spent about 4 years really, really, like, in pursuit of a true career. I had to make up for a lot of time. You know, musical theater is really hard and takes a lot of discipline and training. And so I just put my nose to the grindstone, and I did four Broadway shows in a row, and I did a bunch out of town, and, you know, a couple off Broadway. So that's sort of where I had to, like, catch up on my theater bona fides. Yeah.
Well, before even SNL, I think, did I see you in, like, some small TV roles? Didn't you get turned away by the soup Nazi in Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah, I did TV. I did a little bit of TV, yeah, for sure.
What was it like getting told no soup for you?
It was my first TV job.
And you were turned away.
I was turned away, yeah. It was great. I was so excited. Are you kidding? It was like a legendary episode.
Oh, it's probably the most famous one. Okay, and then you mentioned your Broadway shows, but before we get to that, I do want to go, just move chronologically a little bit more. The SNL days, just quick memories on, you know, on the Culps.
Oh my God. Well, it's so fun. I actually tweeted about them yesterday because it was National Music Teacher Appreciation Day. Who knew? Who knew?
That would have been the perfect venue for you guys to go sing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. You're right. Yeah, they were, you know, we wrote them at the show. It was incredibly fun. It was always an amazing exercise in procrastination. We're kind of famous for that. And it was just always, like the, it was like a labor of love. I mean, we just did them because it was, they were fun to write, they were fun to perform.
Do you and Will, I mean, did you sit down and the two of you came up with which songs you were going to do, or was it the writer?
Yeah, and Paul Appel. No, with the three of us always wrote them. Yeah. And it's so funny because the songs were always this like afterthought where, you know, we would work and work and work and work on, the hardest thing was kind of finding the story and recreating, you know, the disasters that would befall them en route. And then we would, you know, jam out those medleys usually to involve something modern and, you know, just try to think about it. It was really fun to do the arrangement in the way that they would do it, you know. And I have to give credit to Cheryl Hardwick, who was our early musical director. She left actually halfway through my tenure there, but she was there for 25 years.
Was the trick sort of taking something, I don't know, like modern and making it seem very straight-laced? Like, you know, dumps like a truck, truck, truck.
Yeah, exactly. We would always have fun with, yeah, exactly, what they would say.
Now, obviously, probably the most legendary was with you and Alec and the Sweaty Balls. Tell, how did that one come up? And, you know, which restaurant in D.C. has the best, serves the best Sweaty Balls?
Oh, God. that one came up, again, those were characters that I did a lot, those NPR characters. I grew up in an NPR household and have a conflicted love-hate relationship with them, as all people who love NPR do. Not even love-hate, but just, yeah, the sketch. So I'd done the sketch at the Groundlings, actually, and then did it, you know, repeatedly at Saturday Night. And then when Alec was hosting, that was, yeah, the joke came up, I don't know, the writer's, I think Dennis, who I wrote it with, pitched it first, and then, yeah, we ended up writing it. So it was, yeah, anyway, it did end up, you never know when you're, it's so weird, because I people always ask me, what was it like? But I don't, you never know when you're creating anything, if it's going to take, you know? So it's not, that sketch in particular, like, has had half lives. I mean, it was incredibly successful in the moment, people loved it and it played really well, and people thought it was hilarious, ha ha ha. Then, you know, you're like, oh, that was great, but then you went on with your life, you know. And I also, you know, the weird thing, it hasn't been that much time, but the internet has changed everything since I was on the show. And when I was there, even the last couple years I was there, you know, you would maybe TiVo it. Like, you wouldn't have things that would show up on the internet the next day. So it's kind of interesting, like, how things have changed in terms of, like, culture and the way we consume it. It was, you know, you did the show live, and if people talked about it the next day, then, like, lucky you. Or if they taped it, you know, they videoed it. My parents have videotapes of the show, which is so sad.
Still VHS.
Yeah, I finally went back and got everything, like, put onto a jump drive, because it made me sad to go back to their house and see these old VHSs.
So there's VHSs sitting on a shelf somewhere in D.C.?
Actually, they live in New Mexico now. My parents sadly left D.C., yeah, but my father-in-law's still there, so that's where my family is.
And they brought the VHSs with them.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but it's true. Like, I mean, in the day, you either saw it live, maybe you taped it, or you know, if those old skits would maybe show up on, like, a highlight show or a clip show or something.
Exactly.
Nowadays, yeah, now it's all on Hulu. You can pull up Sweaty Balls or The Culps or all of your stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if The Culps, I unfortunately, see, a lot of the stuff I did was musical, so it's harder to find because nobody wants to pay for the rights, so they don't want to re-air it. Yeah, so it's like The Culps are actually really quite hard to find.
Let the legend grow.
Yeah, you can dig around and find them, but yeah, the same thing goes this Gemini's Twin, this Destiny's Child parody that I did with Maya Rudolph, and yeah, quite a few of them, like my sort of more music-oriented things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, us here in D.C., we also remember all of the sort of the politicians you played. I think you did a little bit of a Hillary. There's some internet buzz of Ted Cruz's wife.
It was ridiculous.
There's
right.
All kinds of ridiculous stuff. Are you now, I mean, well, on one hand, are you a little sad you could never play? I mean, Ted Cruz is out now, but on the other hand, Hillary looks like she might win it. So there's a chance for you to go back for a guest appearance.
Well, Kate McKinnon does a killer Hillary, so that's done. I did Hillary like 1.0. You know, I did her when she was the first lady and the first lady only. So it wasn't much of a, there wasn't so much meat there. I think right in my last season, she was running for Senate, and we did a couple of things there, but again, she was running for New York Senate, like nobody really cared in terms of comedy fodder, you know. She's become a much more, an impression is only as interesting as the work that someone's doing, so, you know, she's gone on to do such incredibly accomplished things as a senator, you know, Secretary of State and all that. So there's just more to play there. But
all right, cool. Well, now moving along here to Broadway. You mentioned you were in a bunch of shows. I think four. Wicked was the big one, obviously. You were, you know, and then Three Penny Opera, Rocky Horror. You know, what are your fond memories of Broadway in terms of, you know, I guess bringing you back to your musical and your, you know, your singing and theater roots as opposed to comedy?
Yeah, they're really different. You know what I mean? They're like utterly different. It was a cool extreme to go to after SNL, because everything on SNL is about like getting it out, you know, and working quickly and spontaneously and under enormous pressure. And whereas Wicked is like the same amount of pressure, but it's all about refinement and exactitude. So, you know, because it's such a huge part, and there's all Broadway shows, all theater is done in this kind of very elaborate and specific and tracked way, because you have to do the same thing every day, pretty much exactly the same. It doesn't have to be the same performance exactly, but it has to be, you know, like you literally walk the same traffic pattern every day so that you don't go careening into somebody. You know, it was a really interesting challenge, and I loved it. I loved it in a completely different way than I loved SNL. It's just good for your voice to sing every day. I mean, if you know, there's no substitute for that, you know. So
keep working that muscle.
Yeah, exactly. So I made up for a lot of lost time, which was great and really necessary if I was going to try to do it for real, you know.
Exactly. Well, I mean, now, but all of those shows and SNL and everything, you're a household name now, and you know, how are you the one that they called? You know, recently we just saw you on with, you know, when the whole Kelly Ripa Strahan.
Oh yeah, I've done that. I go in and sit in on some of those chairs. When people, again, I think just because I'm not as scared of being live as other people are, it doesn't knock me out maybe the way I understand it would be terrifying to a lot of people. And I've done that like when they've gone on vacation and stuff. So that's actually, that's why they called, because I'm here in New York and undaunted by drama.
Yeah. Speaking of that, how do you like sort of maintain, you walk out there, you know, there's a little, you know, controversy backstage and the viewers are picking up on that too. How do you just maintain that calm and just sit there and host the show?
You know, they kept it pretty in-house. I wasn't really that aware of anything, you know. I mean, whatever. It's not. I wish I could be more interesting about it. It wasn't my drama, you know. So I knew I was just there to help out and smooth things over for the day. So that's what I tried to do.
Yeah. Well, you stepped in there and you did your job.
Yeah, I had fun. I really like that show. I really like Kelly. I really like Michael. So it's familiar territory for me, and so. It's always fun every time I go.
Awesome. Well, speaking of familiar territory, Arena Stage, we'll close it back out. Come full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you said you grew up going there, and, you know, what's it going to be like to be back out there, and, you know, but in a completely different way now?
I know. It's amazing. I never would have imagined it, and I really am excited, and I think I'm going to have, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing whoever comes out of the woodwork from DC. I have old friends and colleagues from Sidwell and neighborhood friends from Capitol Hill. And so I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, if our WTOP listeners are listening, what's the final, you know, why should they come out? They've seen you and all this stuff, and they have a free night on Monday.
The main reason they should come out is to support Arena Stage. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have a hoot and holler in time. I think the whole goal of it is to not be serious in any way. And it's like a, you know, it's a fun, ridiculous evening in honor of a great DC institution. So, you know, that's really the reason they should come out. It's not, there's nothing, it's not going to be turgid or boring or, you know, your garden variety benefit fair. It's going to be a good night.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to it. It's a great venue and a great person that's going to be there yourself. We've loved you over the years. Thanks so much for all the laughs. And now for the singing. We can't wait to see you.
Yeah, I look forward to doing it. I really do. And thanks for plugging it. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. And a guest star on WTOP. Thanks.
Okay, thanks so much.
And TOP, what's the, just out of curiosity, what's the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, as a D.C. person. Yeah, it's 103.5 FM. It's like an all-new... You probably heard, like, traffic and weather on the 8s, but it's an all-new station 24/7. And our station's literally right across from Sidwell, right by...
So you're...
It's, like, by near the National Cathedral.
Oh, yeah. So you're in where that Murphy's was and all that, like, came down and now...
Like, it was a giant and...
I know exactly where you are. Murphy's? By the Washington Ballet School.
Yes, exactly. Right across from Ballet. Yep. That's where we are. That's where you're talking right now.
Amazing.
All right, thanks so much. That was fun. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you Monday.
Yeah, see you Monday. Bye.
Okay.